Big shout out to our amazing sponsors, Outlaw Distillery. Looking for exceptional spirits to elevate your taste buds? Well, look no further than Outlaw Distillery. With their extraordinary spice rum and honey bourbon gracing the shelves of liquor stores, your drinking experience is about to reach new heights. And here's the best part. Outlaw Distillery is opening its doors to all you adventurous souls. Join the tour and step inside the lair where the magic happens. From the art of distillation to the secrets behind their mouth-watering recipes, this is a chance to witness craftsmanship at its finest. Here's a little something extra for our family. Outlaw Distillery is offering an incredible 40% discount on all tours. Just use the code FAMILY when booking your visit to the Spirited Haven. It's an experience you will not want to miss. Not only does Outlaw Distillery excel in crafting top-notch spirits, but they also believe in giving back to their community. So, if you're ready to taste the adventure and embrace the allure of finely crafted spirits, head to your nearest liquor store and grab a bottle of Outlaw Distillery. And remember, the best is yet to come when you step inside Outlaw Distillery with the exclusive Framily discount. Cheers to thrilling libations and unforgettable memories. See you at Outlaw. Shout out to our sponsors, King's Peak Coffee Roasters. At King's Peak, they take coffee seriously. Their beans are sourced with utmost care from sustainable farms worldwide, ensuring that each sip is a celebration of exquisite flavors. From captivating blends to captivating single origin roasts, their coffee selection promises to tantalize your taste buds and elevate your coffee game to new heights. King's Peak staff embodies the spirit of hospitality and passion for coffee. With smiles that brighten your day, they're always ready to guide you on an unforgettable coffee journey. From bean selection to brewing techniques, their knowledgeable baristas will happily share their expertise to help you find your perfect cup. King's Peak is committed to making a positive impact on the entire coffee supply chain. With every purchase, you're supporting farmers and artisans, enabling sustainable practices and empowering communities around the globe. Together, we're nurturing a brighter, more inclusive future for everyone involved. Whether you're a coffee aficionado or a curious newcomer, King's Peak is your welcoming sanctuary. Explore their wide array of coffees, accessories, and gifts, and let King's Peak help you find the perfect fit for your unique taste. They're not just a coffee shop, but a community that embraces the joy of coffee and human connection. Join us at King's Peak Coffee Roasters, where coffee dreams come true. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, family, I am here at Second Summit Hard Cider Company with my dear friends, Joe and Brandon. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Brandon, you've been busy today.
Yeah.
You're kicking ass, grinding ass, brewing ass. Would you call cider making brewing ass? How would you call it?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. Away from saying we brew things just because we don't actually brew anything.
How would you call it? You cider things? You ferment things.
That's the worst about cider, I think, is there's no real cool. You make cider? Ugh.
Yeah, you can't really use wine terms because they're super specific to grapes.
Can you call it a cider wizard, a cider fermenter, a ferment
cider
wizard?
Cider maker, I don't know.
Because I know some, like, cider maker is like the term for like the head cider-er maker.
Yeah. That's what Brandon is. Brandon's the head cider maker. That's what we use, but I wish there was like a cooler name we could figure out. Maybe that's something you can work on for us.
We should do that.
Yeah, next time we go to CiderCon, we'll bring it up.
It's like a debate.
We need an official term.
Joe, what's your... So Brandon, we know you're the head cider maker, right? Mm-hmm. Joe, what's your term or title here if you have one?
You know, I affectionately call myself Director of Operations. So it's my family's business. My mom is the owner.
Miss Vicky,
along with her college friend that she met in Utah, at Utah State, actually.
What's her name?
Julie.
Miss Julie?
Yeah, Miss Julie will be here next Saturday with all their family, too, so that's why we're having that kind of grand opening.
You're breaking the thing now. So you said a grand opening. What's happening with this grand opening?
I should put this in air quotations. I'm moving my fingers. I say grand. We've been open for about 2 months, but with the other ownership living out of state currently, and their kids are all... My family's, like, my siblings' age, we found this weekend in August. We're like, oh, that sounds like a good date. Let's do it then, and we'll book flights so everybody can come out and be fully part of it, because a lot of the other owners' family lives in Utah, so they've seen it, but even some of their direct family and kids haven't seen it quite yet, so we're excited to get them out here to have kind of a pseudo grand opening on the 26th.
It's not pseudo, it's real. It's not it's fake, real. It's right? So it's the real, actual,
the actual
red
grand
ribbon.
Opening.
I heard that there's going to be balloon animals, clowns, fireworks.
I don't know about that, but there'll be an inflatable obstacle course, because that's something Vicky really wanted.
So. Oh, hell yeah. So
we can get some race, cider
drinking, and
racing.
We're doing a grand opening here at Second Summit, and August 26th?
Yes.
What time? All day? Every
all day. So I think we have yoga starting the day off at 9 a.m., and then go with live music till about 8:30, and then open play pickleball, some pickleball instructions, lessons if you want to learn more about pickleball. There should be, I think, 2 cider releases that day. That'll be just limited day of cider only. And some other fun things like that. So
super excited. So we were talking about cider releases. So Brandon, it's your turn now. What cider releases are we announcing on this podcast we're releasing?
I've been wanting to do something with lavender because that's what my mom asked me to do. She's like, I'm going to come out. You better have a lavender cider for me.
if I come out, you better have this ready.
So I'm going to do lavender lemongrass and then back sweeten it with a little honey. See if that works
that's
out.
That's beautiful. Raw honey, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I'll get some local. Some I haven't got it yet, but I'll find something next week. And then carrot cider, which is sort of something that I don't know. So I tried it a few times, and this is the third sort of recipe that I came up with that it works really well. And when I was working at Colorado Cider Company, Reverend Nett came in from Reverend Nett's, and my boss told him about it, and his carrot cider came out like 2 months later, so I think he stole it, but I'm not sure.
Do I hear a cease and desist here coming up?
It was a homebrew recipe, and he just got just planted the idea in his head, maybe. So I don't know if it wasn't malicious at all, I don't think, but it was just funny. It kind of funny that it's like, oh, Reverend Nat's releasing a carrot cider. It's like, oh, huh.
I mean, I've seen that in the brewing community. I mean, I've seen like where like some of us will like pitch an idea while we're just sitting here like hobnobbing.
Yeah.
And then it comes out and you're like, wait a second, motherfucker. Wait. I mean, I didn't make it first. Good for you. But like, is it because I said it? Or
well,
you know
and it's always funny with the cider world too, I think. Like, there's only so many fruits.
Yeah.
And so many flavors you can really put in something. And a lot of it's like you're kind of just expressing that one flavor. Where I feel like there's a little bit more leniency in beer of like hop amounts and that, because obviously you can make different sweetness and all that kind of stuff, so it's like you try not to make anything too similar to somebody else, but like, I mean,
you guys are stuck to one
some
base
juices are, yeah, the base is always,
which is apple, yeah, typically apple, right, except everyone Perry,
yep.
But I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, so it's not difficult, but like you obviously try not to do the same exact stuff, but there's only, I mean, it's kind of like saying like there's 1,000 IPAs, so it's like, how do you differentiate yourself within the market? But when you're only dealing
it's
with like
tough,
straight
man.
Apples, it can be like, okay, either you have a different apple crop, which the apple crop's always changing too, so you're trying to be as unique as possible, but there's always gonna be some overlap.
It's really fascinating to see how the cider world and the beer making world kind of they converge a little bit, but at the same time they're so different.
Yeah.
And I find you guys have the same kind of trials and errors that we do, but at the same time you guys have like way more creative freedom, but at the same time I have more creative freedom, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just, I wish I could do, I don't know, it's fascinating.
I mean, speaking of beer world colliding with the cider world, the soft cider that's in front of you, I did steal some newer brewing
this is
techniques.
Hazy. Do we have hazy ciders?
Yes.
Is that allowed?
This is unfiltered
so
hop
this is,
cider.
Yeah, so it's fermented with a thiolized yeast, so you get that tropical fruitiness and everything. There's thiols and apples, so I don't have to use Phantasm like brewers would. And then, yeah, we pressure ferment, so I use a spunding valve as well. And then it's fermented with the hops in the juice. So it's not just dry hopped at the end like a lot of people do with their hop ciders. And then we do a hop recirculation at the end to just bring some more freshness back into it.
Can I ask what hops? Because this is, I could not nail the hop right now. This is a medley of flavors.
This
literally
is
a bouquet aroma.
Hallertau Blanc.
Hallertau Blanc and Pacific Gem.
Pacific Gem or Perfect Jade?
Gem? Yeah.
This is a lovely nose.
Thank you.
Like, I want to make a... I know I say this all the time, but I want to make a candle out of this.
it does always smell good. And that's like always funny because like I pushed for the hop cider. Brandon wasn't too keen on it at first. But I think it scares a lot of people too. Like they see hopped and like, oh, it's bitter. It's IPA. Like, no, fully different range of like notes, expressions, flavors, all that kind of stuff. It's like super tropical, fruity.
It's very tropical. It's like a, remember those, what's the zebra gum? The zebra
fruit stripe. Yeah.
It's like that. I mean, it's not like bubble gummy, but it's got like the fun flavors in it.
Yeah.
In this cider.
I think you pick a few really cool notes out of it. And then it's like, I think it's surprised a lot of people try it and they go, oh, wow. I actually like this way more than I would think I would like it.
I have a question for you, Brandon. On the fermentation side, did you get, with that thiolized yeast, did you get a lot of sulfur? I know you get kind of sulfur off the, you know, in cider making in general, but did you get a lot of sulfur from that yeast strain?
Not really. I think the pressure fermentation sort of helps with that as well. And then just making sure you have enough nutrients, especially like apple. Wine yeast will throw a lot of sulfur if it's unhappy. And so if you just keep... If you're good with your temperatures and your nutrient levels, you're pretty good sulfur-wise. And this is supposed to be a non-sulfur-throwing yeast, so we'll see.
So you didn't get any at all during fermentation, after fermentation, nothing?
Nope.
Wow. Even when you opened the yeast, you didn't get any?
Uh-uh.
Get out of here. Because my issue lately using it as a brewer, and I mean, I haven't mastered it, don't. But I get a lot of sulfur coming off of it, a lot of sulfur going... afterwards, and trying to figure out, I think as a team, we figured out how to kind of minimize it, but not get rid of it completely. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I was looking for sulfur when you said
it's a big
yeast,
problem in wine yeasts is sulfur production, but usually what I'm buying is supposed to be low sulfur producing. So
this is, like I said, a bouquet. It really is a bouquet. I like this a lot.
I think it's dangerous because it's like kind of a morning cider, in my opinion. Like, you can almost like trick someone thinking it's like some sort of fruit juice.
Yeah.
That's not alcoholic whatsoever.
Put a little spritz of champagne here. Get out of here. That's a mimosa and a half.
Just throw the vodka right into it.
Oh, vodka? You can just go straight up, Joe. No, but Joe, Brandon, I want to ask you guys this question. So where did this idea come from Second Summit? Why? Who hatched it? What's going on?
You know, that's a... It's,
I got to know the details. Got to know the history.
A short journey. Kind of crazy, I guess.
Is it before you guys met?
Yeah. So this was a couple of years ago. It's been right as COVID was starting. I was living abroad, and I moved back to the States and didn't really know what I was doing.
Where were you living, can I ask?
I was in Iceland for 2.5 years, but then had moved to Indonesia to finish up the degree I was working on, which then I moved to Indonesia February of 2020. So not the best time to move to the fourth largest, most populated country in the Asian sector of the world.
You were there. Were you fucked for a minute?
You know,
as an American,
no. It was very easy to leave the country, all that kind of stuff. By the time I left Indonesia, it was very much we don't have COVID. Drink red guava juice. Drink jamul, like this local beverage. You'll be fine. As tourists in Bali were dying from Europe and so that. So when that was kind of starting to happen, all my Australian friends got pulled out of the country.
Yeah, one of my friends
got
deported.
They're getting pulled out by their, like, they basically said, their home country said, if you don't come home, we're not helping you come home. And I was like, well, you know, I'll just go back to the States. I liked where I was living, but I didn't want to get stuck there.
Did you finish your study abroad? No?
No, I could have done classes and, like, tests at 2:30 in the morning, my time back in the States, and I was just like, it wasn't really what I was looking for. And I was like, I can always go back to it. And then before I knew it, it was COVID. Like, lockdown got super serious, of course. And then I got offered, or I looked at just looking at random jobs and ended up working for AmeriCorps doing a nonprofit gig in Duluth, Minnesota. So I moved up to...
Random, I feel
like. Yeah, I had never heard of Duluth. I didn't really know much about it, but it was 5.5 hours away from Des Moines where I was. And it was a job somewhat in my field, and... it was kind of just offered right away, like, hey, if you want, you can have. And I was like, yeah, sounds good. I'll move up there. So I moved up to Duluth to do this job, making no money at all because it's a government-sponsored job. So I was making like $1,000 a month for a full-time job.
Wow.
Because it was service work. And coincidentally, the closest brewery cidery to my house ended up being a cidery. It was a block away, and I walked in and got a job. So I was bartending, and I always bartended and worked in breweries and stuff.
How old were you when you had this job?
This was 2020, so I would have been 27 at the time.
Okay.
So got this as my part-time job to kind of fund on top of the AmeriCorps work. So then my mom was living out here in Salt Lake City. I was kind of telling, oh, yeah, like, and I didn't really know much about cider other than I had a drink Angry Orchard in college and Crispin and Summersby from Europe and that kind of stuff. So, like, I knew of cider, but didn't know much about it. It's my first foray into craft cider. And I was kind of telling her about it, and she was, oh, that's pretty interesting. I'm like, it's easier than beer when you think about it. Like, there's no the hot side. Like, there's, it's a little bit simpler process, like, easier to understand for kind of like a non-craft industry person. And then before I know it, I think I planted a bug in my mom's head, Vicky's head, and she was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. And then I think 6 months later, she's like, what do you think about a cidery and just a cidery in general, like the idea? And I was like, that could be interesting. I mean, I can't make cider. I know how to make cider. I can't make good cider by any means. And then I kind of back burner, and then I think 6 months later, she's like, oh, I'm looking into some consultants to do some performance analysis stuff. And
so Miss Vicky behind your back was like, I'm sending this right now.
And I think she was in her corporate world, and she was kind of like, I can either do this for a couple more years, or I could do something fun, interesting, and different. So then she's kind of driving, and all of a sudden it was, oh, we're meeting with a consultant. I want to do it in Salt Lake. I like Salt Lake. I want to stay here. And I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, like, when do you want to move out here? And then I moved out here.
Shut the hell up. Dude, the chip's down.
Yeah, so I was out here April of 2022. So it's just a year and a half ago. Started looking at properties and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden we found the building, the space we're in now, probably faster than we wanted. But it was the right space for what we wanted to do. And it was like, oh, no, we have a lease. And now we're like, let's go, go, go. And then I think about October of the same year.
Of 22?
Of 22. So, but yeah, just over a year, less than a year ago, we put out the ad on Pro Brewer for a cider maker. And that's how we found Brandon.
Yeah, late September.
Late September, yes, something like that. You were out here.
Did
you
guys know? October 15th, I think I moved out here.
Did you guys know each other prior to?
No.
And you guys act like best friends. I'm just going to say that right now.
We spent a lot of time
together. Now, there was, the first like 6 months before even like, I mean, October, he moved out here, and we were doing some small projects. Brandon was our resident handyman for the first too many months, I think, than he was expecting. And we were expecting to move a lot faster ourselves too, but, you know, construction always takes longer. But we spent a lot of time just like hanging out once construction started in the cold, since we didn't have heat for the first 2 months of construction. But we were here every day, for at least 6 hours in the 36 degree weather, hanging out, figuring out what we were going to do and all that kind of stuff.
The beginning of Snowmageddon.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of snowy days and a lot of shoveling, a lot of snow blowing, just so the construction workers could get in.
Jesus. Wow.
No electricity, so we had like lights.
Yeah, that was always fun.
Because I know you guys started posting about it a while ago, you know, social media-wise, and I'm like, okay, you started making noise a while back before you guys actually like started releasing actual ciders. And it was one of those, like, you see a lot of podcasters, or you see a lot of influencers, or you see a lot of people who are homebrewing, whether it's a cider, you know, wine, distilling, you know, distilling is illegal, but what? And you see a lot of people making noise. You're like, oh, it's just one of those. Oh, cool. Good for you. I hope you do well. You know, whatever. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, like, you guys kept, like, you wouldn't give up. And like, okay, these guys are for real then.
Like, yeah, I think I started the Instagram account back in the fall, and it was like, okay, we have one, we can post the logo. We had the logo done at that point. And like, here's like kind of our impetus behind it.
But how many,
like,
times do you see that?
You see it a lot, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, people, and like, I'm sure people from us too, they like saw the logo, and I don't think I posted for like two more months, and I'm like, how exciting is like us tearing down a wall and
taking some tile off, building a shed.
It's like, it could be a cool story, but we weren't really, our following at that point was like our family and friends that knew that we were doing this.
Or like installing the pickleball courts.
People that I ran into on the street, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm here to open a cidery, and blah, blah, blah. Like, that was our main base. But there was like, we were always doing something that was at least, we put pickleball courts back in the winter, before the snow even, really.
I thought it was during the snow. I remember you guys seeing
January, February
pickleball courts. I'm like, who are these guys playing snowy pickleball courts?
Yeah, we had to redo the asphalt underneath the courts. So that was, we did it in the fall because we didn't want to wait till the spring just in case. We somehow did construction faster than anybody else in the world. But we had the court, and we probably had the courts in January. So like, there was days where it was sunny, and we would go out and play just for fun on them and that kind of stuff. Where people just saw the courts being there, and they're like, wait, what?
Can we come?
It was but it was like that was a car dealership a year ago. Now what the heck is going on there? Like, they see construction trucks, they see us being there in general. Like, people knocking the door, it's like, what are you guys doing in here? And I was like, oh, you know, we're opening a cidery. And then it's like, what's a cidery? And then you go into that whole spiel. But there was a lot of, like, just sitting around, like, doing small things that, like, felt like big things. And then until construction started. And then that was a ton of small things that didn't feel like big things until we were actually done with construction, I feel like.
You guys have had a roller coaster of an adventure, I feel like.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So then, Brandon, tell me about your adventure. So what made you... So how did you find these guys then?
So it was...
We were talking September-ish, right?
Yeah, that was... I mean, it was a pro brewer ad. But yeah, so I was working at a cidery in Denver that moved down to Penrose, Colorado. Little tiny town in between... Canyon City and Pueblo, and they bought 5 acres to put an orchard in, and it just down, we were in Lodo, or not Rhino, so it was just our 5-year lease was up, and they wanted to raise the rent so much, and we were already paying an amazing amount of money for that space, because we were in the same building as Bierstadt Lager. I don't know if anybody knows Denver Beer, but that's,
Bierstadt, yeah. You say?
Yes.
Yeah, no one knows them. Fuck them. Okay.
same building. But yeah, so we decided to move, and looking around Denver, they found this spot, and then COVID hit. We moved down there in January of 2020 so to help build out the cidery. By the time we got it built out and everything, there was an ownership fight, and since they were 50-50 partners, one partner wasn't letting the other partner do anything, including buy juice.
Eesh.
So the... it's hard to be a cidery if you don't have anything to ferment. It just sort of fell apart. And then I was down there for a little bit waiting to see what would happen with the leftovers, sort of. And I was told, I guess, in September that we wouldn't be really reopening.
And that was September 2020?
September 2022.
Yeah. 22.
Yeah, so we were down there for a year or so. We planted... 2 acres of trees.
So you tried. Like, you put in some effort into this place.
Yeah, planted 2 acres of trees, built out the cidery, did a lot of work, built, I mean, just, like, crazy amounts of work. Like, irrigation, just all the stuff you do with an orchard. And then even, like, started pressing. We bought a press, started pressing our own apples and stuff in the fall. So September 2022, they told me, there's nothing left for you here. Sort of.
Damn.
And then so the first day I went to look on Pro Brewer, there was head cider maker position open in Salt Lake City, and I'd lived here as a kid, and I'm like, I could do, it's still mountains, not like moving to Houston and being in the swamp. And
are you a snowbird?
I run hot, so I can't really handle,
so you hate the summer
being
right now.
Down south. Yeah. I just, it's I mean, this isn't bad. So when I was in Houston in August when we were brewing, our brew house would be 120 degrees because they don't allow any sort of air conditioning in your brew house.
What?
So they
why,
based,
why is that a
they
thing?
Based all their laws for brewing in Houston on a town in Northern California that's like 70 degrees all the time.
Wait, this is real life right
yeah.
now.
So you had to have it closed off in its own room with no ventilation.
So
you're boiling water.
So don't brew beer in Houston is the moral story.
Yeah. Most people just put in, we had a big garage door. And
sure.
Like,
so
we
you
just
know,
opened
you
up
open
one wall of it. But yeah, our brew house would get up to 120 degrees.
Swampy humidity,
yeah.
Swampy ass the whole time while
yeah,
you're brewing.
Yeah, so I would drip sweat. From like it wouldn't even drip off of my shirt. It was off the bottom of my shorts. I was just soaked the entire time.
So you're a complete human swass.
Yeah,
like that's what you were.
Yeah. So
holy
I mean,
cow.
If you stop by in the winter, you'll see Brandon in shorts and sandals still, no matter what. So
yeah.
In the winter, Brandon.
Year round. Yeah.
Oh, well, all the time. Yeah. Wow. Walking through the snow in his sandals.
Man thong. You've been a mankini. You've thought about it.
It's been a while.
I can't help. But that was in Houston.
Yeah.
So you were in Houston before you were in Colorado.
Yeah, so I started at Colorado Cider Company about a little over a decade ago, and then down to Houston for 2 years helping to open Houston Cider Company.
So why cider, Brandon? Why do you give a fucks about cider?
I've always liked cider. I never was really into beer.
Why? I'm curious.
I just never really... just bad beer, I guess. I don't know. I mean, like when you're young and you're drinking... Like, I'd rather drink something that I like to drink. I drink a lot of whiskey as a younger man.
Okay. 21-year-old.
Yeah, over 21, for sure. For sure, yeah. but yeah, so it was more like I just never really got into it. And so I started drinking cider in my mid-20s and got really into it. And when I went down to, I think my friend who knew the brewers or the owners of the brewery in Houston was in Austin at the time going to school. And I was down there at a bar drinking Ace Pear. And it was just, I think I had like 8 of them that night, and I just like stomach ache. Just, I mean, I'm probably 1500 calories of cider. and just like, I could do a better job than this. And then they're like, prove it. So I started making cider at home. And
mid-20s.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, like 20, 27, 28-ish. Yeah. And then I was in between jobs, and I kept going to Colorado Cider tasting room. And Brad was working at the owner there. And eventually he gave me a job in the tasting room. Then I moved over to production. And that's, yeah, kind of how it happened.
Slippery slope for you, my man.
Yeah, and so, yeah, homebrewing, my first batch of cider ever, won a silver medal at the Brew Hut's big annual contest. And
you said Pizza Hut's what?
The Brew Hut is a big, so they're it's a big homebrew shop in Denver, and they do a free homebrew contest, and a lot of people enter it. At the cider table, I took silver and gold. So I beat myself with another cider, but my first cider won silver.
But then you got a gold in the same...
Yeah, on the same table. Yeah. So, and then that gold medal went to the final table, and I ended up in 5th place out of like 260 entrants. And a contest I couldn't win because it was a pro-am, so that they couldn't make the cider if I won. But yeah, so, and then I entered... the state fair, and I won a gold there too in Colorado for a Sicer, and then I stopped competing because I got a job at a cidery, and it felt weird because, like, if you win, you don't feel that great. If you lose, you feel bad because you're doing this professionally. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Then fast forward, you found these guys.
Yeah.
And why did you take the leap of faith to come here, the Second Summit?
Well, there wasn't really... the cider world's pretty small, so there wasn't really anybody, any jobs in Colorado open at the time. And these guys seemed like a good opportunity. They're paying me a pretty decent wage, and I get to make my cider, so that's nice.
We came with the caveat as, I know how to make cider, but I don't know how to make good cider, so we kind of knew, we knew we had to hire a cider maker that could know all the stuff right off the bat, and we were ready to, like, if we had to bring a beer maker in or a brewer in, we're like, okay, we can at least send them to train somewhere. Like, I know Finn River, a cidery up in Washington, is like, hey, send someone out if you need to, we can train them and all, like, the basics. But we wanted to come in and be like, hey, it's fully your production, like, you run that space. We're obviously going to have some input on, like, hey, I would like to see a hop cider or something like that, or like, here's some flavor profiles we want to go for, but like, however you want to make it, you make it. Like, and that's kind of how it's been so far. I'm like, hey, we did a pizza cider.
And well, I was
like, yeah. For Pie and Beer Day, I walked into Brandon like, hey, what are you doing with a pizza cider? And he was like, let me think about that. And then we had a pizza cider a week later. So
what was in it?
So yeah, all the ingredients from like Italian sausage. Fennel, it's a little caraway, some clove, orange peel,
basil,
crushed red pepper to make it sort of more pizza-y. Yeah, it sort of tasted like you were drinking a sausage pizza.
How did I miss this?
It was, I mean, we didn't really advertise it too much other than like a single post on it.
I made, yeah,
5
gallons
on a story.
Of it, and I thought it would sell out a lot faster. I mean, it lasted about a week.
We had some people like, you're not going to make this year-round? Come on. Like, okay.
Well, some of those funky, like, weird-ass, like, ciders or beers, they are, like, sometimes the most popular.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that, like, this one especially, like, it's, like, the nose was super weird. Like, it's like, that smells kind of funky. But then you drank it, it was, like, a very botanical cider when it came down to it.
Gotcha.
So it made sense in the glass, and then... And it's always funny when people try your product. They're like, you can tell they don't want to be mean about them. Like, you don't have to like it. Like, this is not your thing. Like, there's certain ciders I don't drink no matter what. Like, I'm like, it's not my style or that kind of thing. But some people are like, it was one of those either love it or like, I get it, I won't have another one. I'm like, perfectly understandable.
Absolutely. I see that. And it's in the beer world or in the distilling world too. It's like, hey, not everyone likes gin.
Yeah.
Brandon, do you like gin?
Mm-hmm.
You like gin? Do you like tequila?
Yeah.
So you like all the spirits. I can't find a spirit you don't like.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
sherry port.
They're sort of like the anise sort of stuff, like a sambuca.
Sambuca.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You have horrible stories of sambuca. Is that
I just don't really like it. I don't know.
But see, everyone has like that spirit. It's like, oh god. Yeah. Ooh.
I mean, horror stories, spiced rum, and Jack Daniels.
I can see and Jack Daniels together. I can see this.
Different times, but
yeah,
they're my two.
I love this. So what do you guys have? So. What is it about Second Summit you guys have this faith in? Because like you have these, I feel like you guys are these two different individuals with two different, like, I don't know. It's like here, but then you guys like merge together to be one, and you guys are making kind of a badass team right now.
Yeah, I think the big, I mean, I would say the Utah cider market is 10 years behind the rest of the. I mean, every state you go to, there's cideries popping up kind of nonstop, and I definitely think we kind of even we knew coming in the Utah cider market has been lagging with. You have Mountain West as the major player and that kind of thing.
And why are they a major player? Just I think the biggest one?
Biggest production. And then you have like at a place in Torrey who's making good stuff, but way out of the way.
And, yeah,
like,
and they're a little orchard cidery. And
so they do some really cool stuff, but it's liquor store like Scion Cider, a few other places only. Then you have Scion with Rio coming in to getting his chops in with cider making and stuff and making big progress there. But otherwise, there was no mid-level. So like you, a lot of times you see like these big breweries, or and then they have a small neighborhood brewery, and then there was like this kind of nice niche to come in and do something completely different, have this big open space, and then try to be just make more different interesting ciders, and like just kind of open up the cider world to the Utah market. Because I think I have like 50% of our customers when they come in for the first time. I would say probably even 75-80% of customers coming for the first time. Oh, you don't make the beer here. Oh, no, we're a cider, and you have to kind of explain that, explain why our cider is 6.5% and it's on draft. That's a big shock to a lot of people, and why can I only get 5 ounces or I have to buy this big 25-ounce carafe? So there's this whole new like kind of identity to cider in the state of Utah, and it's something that we have like this opportunity to kind of grow.
Yeah, it's lack of education. You get
education, for sure, and that's a great problem to have, because we can come in and be that educational source and kind of show people, showcase ciders, and we have our ciders, and then we've brought in other ciders from around the country too. I love directing people that like really love cider. They like, oh, I love cider, I want to know more. Well, like, hey, we have these, but then go down to Scion. They second largest selection of cider in the country. Like for the Salt Lake City to have the second largest selection of cider at a bar is kind of crazy
insane
for the state of Utah alone.
Yeah. So going off of that, you just mentioned, you know, you have at a place, Torrey, Utah, you have Mountain West, it's probably the biggest production, right? And then you have Scion Cider Bar, the biggest selection. And then what's the other one?
The Hive,
which I don't know what we call it, meadery or cidery.
They do a little both. They do a winery,
whatever
it is. Cider.
So you have a small niche community, right?
And it's growing fast, though, at the same time.
Yeah.
So we have Thieves Guild is, they're building out their space right now.
They
have
tanks in the building.
And
then there's Six Sailor.
Michael said he's close. He has a building in the works, apparently. So we're excited to see what he does with that.
So you guys tight-knit, like, the brewers and distillers in a way?
I would say so. Like, I mean, I think all the brewers have been super accepting. They love to talk and love to, like, offer all the help in the world they can give you if you need it and all that kind of stuff. I know we had a problem with a piece at one point. We were missing a valve.
They didn't send us a punch valve for our juice totes. And we had to find one.
Calling this person, like, okay, I'm going to call Marcio next. Marcio, we'll call somebody else and see if they have something for us.
Yeah, we ended up getting one from Shades.
Cool.
There's this kind of tight-knit. I know, like, we have talks, and we don't see each other a lot because everybody's busy doing their own thing. We're all kind of spread out around town, too.
And you guys are all grinding, too.
There's going to be times we get together, and it's like, okay, we're going to figure out. I mean, there's going to be a Utah Cider Fest before we know it. I mean, I think there's an 8th producer trying to in the works right now, too. So we might have 8 production cideries by the end of 2024. It could be 9-10 by that at that point, too. So, I mean, Utah does have a traditional apple-growing region, too. So there is apples in the area. The Pacific Northwest is close. So you can get juice pretty easily, too.
Yeah, we're closer to the western slope of Colorado than Denver is, so.
That's so cool.
Where all the apples are in Colorado.
The Cider Fest got me all excited. Like, I'm like, what? Like, what? Like, this is in the works, but that's going to be a thing in the future, for sure.
Will be the big driving factor behind that, I think.
Of course, Elizabeth's OG, tell you what.
I think she wants to kind of host something in that realm.
The Latter-day Cidery?
Something. We can figure something out. Cider and Sinners or something like that.
Cider and Sinners. But, I love that.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of cider on the market soon, and it's be great for the public just to have all these options, and it's going to be great for all the competition to kind of force us to do different crazy things and have some fun with the cider world.
So on that note, so you guys have, I don't know, like an uphill battle in a way. I think beer is the market, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got spirits. Then you got cider and wine. They kind of get thrown to the side. Kombucha, sake, kind of down there. So you guys are kind of like on the lower totem pole, if you will, when it comes to popularity. Not because I'm saying that you guys have a shitty product or a quality product. It's just that's what it is in the general market. So how do we... Because cider at one point was the drink of choice in the Americas.
It was the number one drink in America until Prohibition.
So how do we go back to like even being even keel, to making a name for ourselves? How do we do this?
I think the biggest thing... The biggest change that would tenfold change the entire cider industry is just some of the deregulation of how we can distribute the cider. So right now, cider, even though most ciders don't that we produce are all about 6.5%, Mountain West doesn't go over 7 too much. Scion's been playing up in the 7 to 8, but we get treated like a liquor, so everything has to go through the DABS. So High Point beer, even if I made a 4% cider, it has to go through the DABS to buy
it. Is it like a liquor or like a wine?
It's a winery license, but I mean, it's treated all the same. We get paid less tax than the liquor and wine unless we go over a certain percentage. But if someone wants to put our cider in their bar, they want to buy it, we either have to send it through the DABS, which they don't have any refrigerated storage and that kind of stuff. We're not filtering sterile here, so there's always a chance of some contamination that way. Or just like product degradation, or they have to come directly to us to buy it, which is great for us in some aspects. But I sell a lot of bars, and they would love to have us in there, but it's then converting them like, hey, you got to drive to Mill Creek now to buy it, because I don't want to necessarily send it through the DABS warehouse system.
And we can't even take it to the DABS warehouse. We have to hire a truck to come pick it up to take it to
DABS. So pay someone to come pick up your product.
To take it to DABS.
To pay them to...
Take a loss on the cider sale.
To distribute it.
To distribute it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And like, you know,
or they can come get it from us.
They can come get it, which we prefer. Because, I mean, like, and that's like... I know like when I was buying some High Point beer from when we were first kind of stocking stuff, and I didn't really know how this whole system worked because it's all very confusing, very different from where I used to work. And then it's like... I was buying some High Point from Fisher through the special order website, and then Tim Dwyer just reached out and goes, hey, do you mind just actually showing up to the tap room and buying it? I was like, oh, I can do that. I'd love to do that. So it's like one of those nice things where they already makes more money when you buy it directly to the tap room anyway. You don't have to deal that DABS markup. So be able to show up, and then I always love doing it. Like, stop, have a beer, talk.
Yeah, you
like,
hang out and catch up.
Do a little sales on my end and that kind of stuff.
This is what I'm doing right now. Fuck yeah, because like I feel like in the fermentation community, I feel like we are all supportive of like, hey, what are you doing new? What's going on?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, I dropped some news to you guys today. You told me some news today before we started.
Yep.
And we're both like, fuck yeah, let's go. Yeah. I was like so excited. And I love that.
And I think that's the whole community here. Definitely, it's like everybody's working for the common goal of like making alcohol more accessible.
It's a family, man.
Yeah.
Let's just like...
We all have to kind of band together at some point, because I know, like, I think cider gets a little gruff because we have higher percentage pouring.
Sure.
But then, like, no one wants to pour 5-ounce beers.
No one.
So it's like...
But if you tell me I can pour a High Point beer at 5 ounces, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Just let me brew my beer. Just
let us be adults.
And then at the same time, I would love to pour... I would make a 5% cider if I could pour 16 ounces direct to a glass versus, hey, here's your cider in this lovely carafe.
So you could make a 3.5% cider and still cannot pour 12 ounces?
No, it's all 5 ounces across the board because it's a wine size.
Into the carafe.
Yeah.
So you have to pour it into the carafe.
But I could sell you a can and open it in front of you and give it to you. You could drink 16 ounces out of a can.
That makes so much sense. God damn.
Which we love. We like people, we have these lovely carafes in 15 and 20. So like our size amounts are 5, 15, and 25, which people are like, wait, what's going on?
You simplify it, yeah.
I'm like, you know, you either get 15 is great for a single serve, you just get two glasses and you have to pour into the second glass. 25 is great to share, or 5 is great to taste. Like, I mean, most when you get a flight at a brewery, you're getting 5-ounce pours, except that I can only give you 2 5-ounce pours at a time because you can't have more than 2 drinks. So
I love Utah so much. So much.
Definitely interesting.
Keeps you honest.
It sure does.
Like C Squared, we were serving, if somebody came in and wanted a taster of each one, it was a like 3.5-ounce taster, and we had 10 or 12 ciders on tap at a time, and they could just buy that. a pain in the ass cleaning all the glasses, but
yeah. Right, but doable. Jesus. Yeah.
You can have it. It was always a warning. Like, this is like 40 ounces of cider. Are you guys sure?
Yeah, but like, send it, right, at that point. Because that's the loophole. If I can find the loophole, I will. And that's where, if we have these all these regulations, people try to find the loophole. If we just like make it an open kill thing, there's less chance of the loopholes of trying to like, hey, how can we break the rules? We're always trying to break rules.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think this is oversimplifying everything. It's like, if there's a percentage-based system, like, hey, everything over this percentage has to do this. Everything under this percentage, like,
sure.
And make it 10%.
How much ethanol you put in your product?
How many beers are over 10%? There's a few of the big ones.
Yeah, but are you dedicated to a whole, like, 12, 16
exactly.
ounce? Like, no.
Yeah.
I'm sure that shit.
I would love to, if we sell a lot of Ferta here, if Ferta could pour 16 ounces direct to glass, that'd be great. It's 8%. Yeah, you don't want to do a bunch of those, but people can buy as many cans of Ferta as they
want to. I can control it. Give it to me. Like, yeah. I'll, you know, let pour on tap, put Ferta. I'll do 5% or 5 ounces. That's fine.
Yeah,
but control it.
Or like even 16 ounces. Often. Who cares? I mean, the bartender's there also to protect you at that point. Like, hey, we won't serve you at a certain point.
Right.
But like, what's the difference between a 16 ounce draft Ferta or a 16 ounce can of Ferta?
Right. Absolutely. Damn. Utah.
Gotta love it.
Well, on that note, my friends, we're gonna take a quick break. Come back, cause some of us have to use the restroom.
Okay.
See you soon, my friends. Shout out to our sponsor, Sugar House Distillery. Handcrafted from grain to glass, Sugar House has been grinding for years to bring us products that are quality over quantity. Just to name a few, their single malt whiskey, rye whiskey, which is our weekday jam, their Boilermaker series, which is a rotating collab within our family, and their canned cocktails, which are so damn good and great for any to-go adventures you have this year. Located in most liquor stores across Utah, or just head over to the distillery located on 2212 South West Temple, Monday through Friday. Tell them we sent you, and they'd love to give you a tour and possible tasting. When you think Sugar House Distillery, think local and made with love. Until the next spirit, my friends. Shout out to our sponsors, Clearwater Distilling. Utah County's only distillery is turning heads and quickly making a name for themselves. From whiskey to vodka, their unique innovation transforms the norm with incredible products like their Rene Armagnac, which is an aged French Armagnac with an American rye whiskey twist. Literally one of our favorite showcasers. Or their Scandalous, which is not like Fireball. It's an actual whiskey with quality cinnamon without any sugary taste. Also, Clearwater teams up to do a monthly cigar pairing where you come and get educated on how to properly smoke a cigar while pairing with Clearwater's lovely spirits. For more information, head to clearwaterdistilling.com, hit them up on all social media platforms, or just message us, and we'll get you started on the right path. Open 7 days a week, even on holidays. Clearwater is a must. See you there. Until the next spirits, my friends. So, Brandon, you got something? What was this again? This
is ginger sumac.
Ginger sumac cider. This is beautiful.
So, ginger... I didn't just want to do ginger because I just feel like a lot of what I'm doing is the same lineup we had at my last place, and I just wanted to add a little something to it. So it was ginger citrus was kind of the idea, and then I looked into like sort of finding a what goes well with ginger, and so like sumac, lemongrass, and lemon peel were the three test batches we did, and I think I just like sumac a little bit better because it's got some like smokiness, some pepperiness, plus that like lemony kind of citrus hit.
It's like subtle citrus. It's not like overpowering at all.
Yeah,
I love it so much.
I think it's in my opinion, it's my favorite of our. So we have a core four. So the hopped we had ginger, sumac, a cherry, and an off dry. And it's my favorite of the four. I think it's the most drinkable, like, consistently and that kind of stuff, but super clean. I know we did the test batches. I had a bunch of my friends over to try it out, and that was always the favorite was the ginger sumac, so I'm glad we stuck with it. And, and it's not the poisonous sumac. Some people know sumac as poisonous.
Right.
Not the poisonous type, but that was one of the things that the TTB wanted to know when we submitted the recipe.
What, you're killing people?
Like, what kind of sumac? I'm like... I had to go look up myself, like, what is the non-poisonous sumac genus species so I can send back to the government to make sure they know we're not trying to kill anyone.
And this is a homage to Miss Vicky because you said that Miss Vicky wanted a ginger cider. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Yeah, she likes ginger, so she wanted something ginger. Luckily, she's pretty easy to please.
Oh.
So everything we've made, she's liked so far, I think.
Has there been one she hasn't liked?
The cherry, maybe she doesn't like, but she doesn't like cherry, so that's maybe.
I feel like cherry's always a tough one. Like, either you like cherries or you don't.
Yeah.
Like, our cherry, like, I mean, you can get super cough syrupy with cherry pretty fast, but this is, like, local cherries from Willard, Utah, so, like, nice. I think it drinks clean, and then, like, you have this tart cherry backbone to it that's, like, not overly overpowering cherry either at the same time.
Yeah. So, I think from what I've tasted from you guys so far, so, like, I love it. So far, so good. And you have spicy stuff as well. You have spicy stuff, you have sweet stuff, you have dry stuff, semi-dry. So what's some of the favorites here that you've come out with that aren't your top four?
So this, we had a, like, our summer season, we came down to a blackberry lime, and that's been a super big hit. So it's, on again, dry and tart. Everything we make kind of leans dry, just because I think sweet ciders people are falling away from big time.
It's also what I make, so
yeah.
And if we want to sell a sweet cider, if somebody comes in wanting a sweet cider, we can, since we're a full bar, we can carry cans. We have cans of Original Sin, which is a sweet.
Like Black
Widow.
They
don't call themselves sweet, but they are sweeter.
They're hella sweet. What are you talking about?
Well, you tell that to them.
Sometimes I feel like it's an introductory cider. For sure, Black Widow is a great one.
Yeah, and it's cheap and widely available.
And it's
well
made.
So.
And it's they're good ciders. They're just sweeter.
So the blackberry lime's in a huge hit, where it's like this nice kind of deep blackberry flavor, tart, and then it has like this lime bite that really cuts through and kind of like freshens it up a little bit. I'm trying to look. We made the 801 peach ginger. So we did a peach ginger cider.
Talk to me.
So we did it in partnership with CityCast Salt Lake, another local podcast that focuses on all things Salt Lake. And they wanted to throw an 801 party on August 1st to celebrate the area code of Salt Lake County and that kind of stuff. So luckily they came to us with a pretty easy recipe. They're like, hey, what about peach? We're like, what about peach ginger? We have some ginger and like it keeps it fresh and that kind of stuff. So we made a short run of cans with they did a special label for us, or we made a special label for them. They kind of designed it. I got it all done. So we like canned a bunch. We had a bunch in kegs, and then we had a big party, and like, I mean, I think we sold out of, we did 180 16-ounce cans in about 45 minutes.
Hell yeah.
And then we still have some of the keg left. I think we're about to run out.
Like, yeah, it's today about
might,
to blow.
Tonight might be the last night of peach ginger for the year.
I got to get after this then, for sure.
But that's been super popular. A touch sweeter on the sweeter side. I think it's, but I'd still call it semi-dry, not even semi-dry, but like, I don't know, what do you call the middle of, it's not semi-sweet,
it's
I would
there.
Say.
A there cider.
Yeah. I don't know what you call a middle.
Because it doesn't really drink too sweet, in my opinion. And then...
Not semi-dry, it's not semi-sweet. It's just there.
Yeah, it's just right there. Right there in the middle. I think you could drink a bunch of them and you wouldn't think it's sweet.
Same ginger profile, Brendan, that we had in the Sumac?
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty much the same.
I think it drinks more ginger on the end versus the
It might have a little
front.
Bit more ginger in it than our ginger Sumac does, just because... I used what I had left over, and I think I only made like 100 gallons of it. So. Yeah.
But then for the beer fest, which is tomorrow, I mean, you'll hear this next week, but we made a passion fruit habanero cider.
Can't wait. I saw you making it, and I'm so pumped for that. Because raspberry habanero beer is like my favorite beer I ever made.
Which I think this one turned out like awesome because I like spice, but I don't want my drink to be the only thing the spiciness is the only thing in the drink.
Mm.
So I think this makes a nice, like, kind of juicy. I mean, Brandon might have his opinion on it. He probably wanted it spicier. It's really, really juicy. Like, you get all that passion fruit citrus in it, like citrus side of it. And then you have this like, little bit of kind of lingering bite, then it dissipates, which I like because then you go back for more for that bite, and not the bite just stays there forever. And you're like, I need to drink more to get rid of it.
So here's the thing. If you have to reach back to the glass, like, wait a second, I got to try it again. Like, I think as a beer maker, if I got you to go back, like, what was that? I got to try it again. I win.
And that's like, and Brandon will speak to this, the habaneros, like there's an inherent fruitiness to habaneros.
Brandon, let's talk about it. Because why passion fruit first and why the habaneros?
Passion fruit. I like passion fruit as like as far as tropical fruits sort of go, like it does real well in cider. It's nice and acidic, which is good. Not too sweet. I think we're using the concentrate and it came in only at like 50 bricks, which is pretty low for a concentrate. So you still get a lot of flavor without getting a lot of sweetness in it when we used it. And then the habaneros, I took most of the veins and seeds out of. Just because I do like the fruitiness of a habanero. It's one of my favorite peppers, and a lot of people won't eat them because they're too spicy, and they don't get the flavor out of it. My uncle is Mexican, married to my dad's sister, and he grows a lot of habaneros, and they live outside of San Diego, and he makes a salsa that is just chopped habaneros and onions and lime juice and salt and
with the seeds as well.
Yeah, so good, and it burns you out. But
I want that recipe, seriously, because I'm on a pico kick right now. I've been making pico up the ass.
It's just like slivered up, like chopped up habaneros, onions, lime juice, and salt, I think.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. Oh, man. Ooh, that sounds so good.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he's also a tequila collector, so going to visit him is dangerous.
So, when are we going to San Diego, boys? I'm down.
I haven't been to San Diego in a long time.
Sounds like a trip, boys.
It's been a while for me, too.
There's going to be a cidery out there, right?
The first snowfall, let's go out there. I'm over the snow. it's summer, and I'm over the snow. I really do like this, the ginger sumac. I think it's a beautiful balance between the apple, the ginger, and the sumac. And then you got the citrus in there that I really think is wonderful in there.
Yeah. I mean, I try to not cover up the actual cider because, like, nobody wants to drink. I mean, some people do want to drink a soda.
Sure.
But I'd rather you taste what I made than some additive I put in later.
Right. So, Brandon, Joe, here's a tough question for you guys. Maybe it's not tough. I'm just assuming it's tough. What's going to set you guys apart from the rest of the cideries here in Utah?
That's a great question. We back Sweden.
I mean, Mountain West, most of their stuff is very dry, and I get it. They're distributing. It's tough, especially if at their scale, because I don't think they filter sterile. To get something that's shelved, especially in Utah, where none of the liquor stores have refrigeration.
Oh, so you're telling me that all our products sit in a warm warehouse 24/7?
Yeah, I had a Cottonwood, and I know it's not as bad as the one I bought from when I first moved here, and it tasted like pencil shavings. And, like, I've had it at the cidery, and it's much better. So it's just they get ruined on that shelf, but they're doing everything dry on purpose because they don't want to risk
shelf
re-fermentation.
Stability. Yeah. Yeah.
And Rio does a lot of dry stuff as well right now.
Rio's pretty bulky with his stuff. He's like always in the 7 and 8%. I feel like now too.
So he's getting a little higher. We're trying not. I'm trying not to go to where you're just gonna get drunk drinking a couple of them. I mean, the juice comes in at about 7% ish, but with everything we do to it, it ends up at 6.5. So.
But I think we're going to hit this like nice niche of we want to be in other brewery shelves. Because so, I mean, like the gluten intolerance is on the rise. People are more aware of it. People are finding out more about cider. And it's like you want to be able to go to a brewery. And it's like, hey, it's great to see there's not only Mountain West, there's us on top of it. Like you have multiple options for cider to find what cider you like best. And then just doing a whole new world of flavors too. Like trying to be fun with it. Like, hey, you'll see these four all the time. But like, follow us on Instagram and you'll see like, hey, we're gonna do this carrot cider next week, and all of a sudden, and it's like, hey, it's limited release and all that kind of stuff. So I think just having a little more fun with small batch, which we have like the lean CD do, since we do have smaller tanks and we're not fully focused on widespread.
The use of savory ingredients too, because I like to use herbs and stuff that maybe not a lot of people put in cider.
He's been taunting me with this fuzz cider for a year now.
That was what won the gold medal at the homebrew competition.
If Marcio can win a Tycon Tom or whatever beer, I mean, I think you could do that.
It's a heavy spice load, but it just took.
You just made a pizza cider, son. Send it.
I took a bunch of pho recipes and just took the stuff that wouldn't work, onions and garlic and some other things out of them, and then I took everything that's in them. And then some lime peel, and then back sweetened with a Thai basil syrup. Yeah.
And
it won a gold medal. It's good.
So why aren't we making this right now?
I mean,
you have a grand opening.
I just haven't had. I mean,
Christmas is coming up. Thanksgiving. Let's go.
Don't tempt him now.
Time.
Yeah, we got a busy weekend and a week leading up to next. But I know there's that. I'm also pushing very hard for a yuzu wasabi cider, which we don't know how it's going to work. We've tried it, but we haven't found out the right way to do it.
Wasabi just falls out. That's a problem. It doesn't stay. We'll have to use so much wasabi, it doesn't make sense.
Wasabi is very expensive.
The money doesn't make sense. But I don't know, upcoming, we've got, so we had some freak accident happen to a batch of cherry cider, and we sent 100 gallons of that up to Dented Brick, and they distilled it into brandy for us. And we're getting that back, and we're going to make a Pommeau. We just bought some barrels today to put that in.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so I got to find some nice juice now.
That'll be 2024, though. So
yeah, it's going to take about a year.
I saw that, and I reached out to Harley. I'm like, whoa. A cidery distillery collaboration? I don't think I've seen that yet.
Yeah.
My last cidery did it.
Colorado Cider does it.
You have a bad batch,
yeah,
or you have a batch you're not happy with, like, there's no point in dumping it all. Why not distill it?
Yeah, we took our filter, our plate and frame at Colorado Cider was leaky. So we took all the drippings from it, put it in an IBC, then sent it up when I was there to Deerhammer Distilling.
So cool.
And they would send us half of it back, and we would use that as Pommeau.
Well, as a beer maker, I know for a fact that, because I remember the first time, I think one of two times in my entire career I've had a dump beer. Mm-hmm. And then I reach out to my distiller friends, heard about it, and they go, why the fuck are you dumping beer? Send it to me real quick. Because I know Sugar House, they sent, or I know they did an experimental series, right? So, no, Talisman had a triple IPA that went south, like bad. Huge-ass batch. So, it's either do you dump it? So, he's like, he reached out to James over at Sugar House, like, hey, can you distill this? Sure, we'll fuck with it. And they did. And they sat on it for a couple of years, and it turned out very interesting.
Yeah, and Beehive did that one with Uinta. With
hops.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, just who knows?
And you might as well reuse it. Like, there's no point, as long as you have the place to store it and all that kind of stuff. And Harley was like, oh, yeah, I'm happy to experiment and have some fun with it. We're like, do what you got
to
do.
It gets you guys to create, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes my favorite beers I've ever made have been my biggest fuck-ups.
And sometimes it works out.
It does. And then, you know what? I'm okay with it. Just like, as the artist, you let the art create itself, hey, you're fine. Nothing wrong with that.
It makes it more interesting. So
yeah,
that's like we get the barrel age of like a year. So that'll be like a Thanksgiving 2024.
And that's
special
the thing with
release.
The distillers. I'm like, how do you guys have the patience to sit on that real estate? I couldn't. Sorry, I can't do that.
That's why they all start with gin and vodka.
So boys, what are some goals for Second Summit? Let's say 5 years. What do you guys want to do for Second Summit? What's some ideal goals?
I mean, 5 years, you'd hope that the DABS does have refrigerated storage or privatized system altogether.
Self-distribution of wine to other licensees.
That way they don't control, service you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, we want some more. We need more tanks.
Yeah. I'd like some bigger tanks.
I mean, this space can hold quite some space. I mean,
I've got four more glycol drops back there. So
we could probably get another 60 to 90 barrels in here if we get the right tanks, I would think.
If I can get some real fat boys, I'd like to get like 120 more, but yeah.
But yeah, I think on the bar side of things, I've really just built out this space, kind of perfect it. But there's a lot of things that have fallen to the wayside just because it's not financially makes sense at this point, or
sure,
it's like it's cosmetic. But then kind of build the brand in the area.
Because Mill Creek's, I feel like Mill Creek's only known for their coffee. That's just me.
And yeah, we're the only craft alcohol industry in Mill Creek. So, I mean, they've been awesome with us, like, been very receptive and very quick to help with
cool
problems that arise. And then I think just like build a presence of cider in Utah and just keep expanding that. And then, you know, just more and more cider. We have 16 drafts here. There might be a day where we can fill up 16 drafts of cider and then.
And you guys also do sell beer, so in case you don't want to drink cider,
options. I learned my last cider that in Minnesota you could only serve cider or fruit-based products in your cideries. We'd have some people come in and would just be, and it's gotten better, but against the idea of drinking cider because it's not masculine or something like that. And
sure,
they want to drink the double IPA, the triple IPA, and
or the Coors,
and they kind of just sit there and kind of pout while their spouse or someone else drinks it, and like, dude, or they, you get them with like, oh, we have an 11% bourbon cider, and they're like, oh, okay, I'll drink that. But yeah, like I like the option because I'm more of a beer drinker myself. So if I go out, I'm going for a beer first most of the time, unless I'm like purposely going to Scion and that kind of thing. So I like the idea of like, hey, come in if you don't know what you want or you don't want it, you're not ready to try cider, or you don't like cider. It's nothing wrong with that. I'm gonna put on some local beers on draft, local beers in cans because I get that you can't just have cider all the time.
Right.
And we're not going to produce enough where it's like we're not have that giant variation where you go to Fisher or TF and there's 16 to choose from. So there's always something different. We have 7 right now, which we'll probably be at 5 to 6 on average of our own cider, at least at this part with our production availability. But just having a second option, I mean, we have the full bar license, so might as well take advantage of it. So we have liquor. We do cider cocktails because you can mix liquor and the cider together. So you can have some fun with that. Yeah, just like trying to be as open as possible to the consumer, because we also do, we have these pickleball courts. Like, we want to...
Yeah. How many courts do you have again? Four?
We have four courts out there. So you can come out here, play pickleball, drink a cider, drink a beer, or drink... we have Liquid Death, or we have like Hands Kombucha. So we have other options, just like, so you can drink non-alcoholic. You don't have to come here and drink. And that was a big like tenet of the business too, was this space is not only to make good cider, but to connect with friends. And connecting with a friend doesn't necessarily mean
it's a hangout,
having
a neighborhood
hangout.
Yeah. Let's go.
I mean, we have over 100 seats on the patio right now. So way too much extra space.
What's the talk about in the winter? What do you guys do with all that? Because you have a huge ass court, huge ass outside space.
We'll find out.
Winter time.
We haven't been open.
We're planning and scheming. I know my mom. We're working a street curling. I think one of the hotels did it downtown.
That sounds.
They're getting a couple like these
so
kind of pseudo curling rinks that are like mimic curling. It won't be ice because it's not cold enough, but to at least like turn one of the courts into those, like to have a couple of those just to have fun. Like, and I think the idea is just to be like, hey, it's winter in Utah. We're an active winter city. We can be active in non-skiing ways or non-hiking and that kind of stuff. So if you do want to come to the brewery or the cidery or a brewery at that point, even like to come, like be able to sit outside, because 35 and sunny in Salt Lake is a dream as long as the wind's not kicking up.
Right.
But yeah, play pickleball in the cold. We did it all winter, all this kind of fall or past spring when it was cold. We were still playing, but to have just like options to do stuff and stay active and then keep putting out good cider. So you might come for the cider. Oh, I can do this. And next time you might just come for the curling, or come just because the patio is nice and warm, or we're going to have live music, trivia, bingo, or something like that too.
But for someone who doesn't do snow sports or winter activities, it's very enticing to have like, hey, we can do cool and fun shit even in the cold. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
While having a drink.
I'm enticed. That's really cool. Interesting. Brandon, what's it going to take? What do you want to be known for as an artist here in the community? What do you want to be known for? I know you said you live in Salt Lake for a while. You went out, learned, came back.
Yeah.
What kind of impact do you want to make on this family?
I don't know. Just like sort of being intentional with my ciders. I don't know. Like I want to make ciders that like are, I've done it on, like what I do is on purpose. So like if I go out and buy some really nice $10 a gallon juice and we put it in barrels and then we put it in 750 bottles. I want it to be really nice and good. And I would let that cider speak for itself. Whereas something like this, and even our off dry, that's just basically this sweetened a little bit with some juice at the end, is still good. It's just like, you can, I don't know. I don't know how to say that.
Brandon's very picky, and a lot of times he wants to ask us, like, what do you think about this one? I'm like, I like this, but do what you think is best. Like, you have the control. Like, if you think it needs to be a little bit sweeter, don't worry about it. Put some sweetness to it. If you think we can dry or whatever, let's just do that. Want to be spicier? Let's throw some more peppers in.
Yeah, I'm the person that sees the most flaws in my work. So
well, yeah, the closest to it.
Yeah.
So I can see that. Sometimes you got to step back or have outside opinion, which you'd ask. But I can totally see that, because that's because you're an artist. Sorry, homie. But I like that you want to put your intent in the cider and you want that to be seen.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. I love that about you.
Sort of like balance too. Like, I don't want something to be too much of something where it's overwhelming.
For the sake of it.
Yeah.
Unless your intent was there.
Yeah.
See, Joe, I think you guys found...
No, we struck gold.
Yeah, you're a cider maker. Or what we call it, the summit maker. The something maker.
He's also good with the framing hammer, which really helped with the shard.
Framing hammer.
Yeah, I did some construction once upon a time, so I built this bar.
So the bar was built by Brandon. Effort for the cooler. The cooler was quite the journey of using the forklift to make it square to lock in the cam locks and stuff.
I cannot wait to hear the story outside.
Oh,
this.
Man.
This all makes right. me so happy.
Yeah, don't bring a level to the building, because every panel of the concrete floor is slightly different. So I think our bar is square in two directions, but not the third direction.
We got lucky in the back that it all sort of drains out the doors at least, so it doesn't sit in a spot, but it's pretty, even with the floor drains, we still have to do a good amount of work getting it into the drains. So It's tough.
Makes it all the more fun.
It does, yeah. Right? But
1970s like poured concrete.
When we can't have just simple, right? It's got to be some challenges that make us better.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
So you guys are beer drinkers. I've seen you guys. Obviously, we've had some good conversations at breweries. What do you see in the brewing community that you wish you saw in the cider community, or you don't see in the brewing community that you want to see in the cidery community?
I mean, you have to be, I'm always a little envious. I'm like, man, how can Fisher and TF pack these crowds in week after week and like every Saturday? It's just, so I think the big thing is like just getting it to be more in the zeitgeist of like aware, because a lot of people like don't know we exist even half the time, or they've heard the pickleball first.
Oh yeah, when I was dropping off stuff at the Brewers Fest today, like, who are you? Where is that? Who's this?
Right.
So I think there's a little more of a pop when the brewery opens up and that kind of stuff. And then the beer community is more of a tight-knit community. There isn't really a traditional cider community that I know of, especially in Salt Lake.
But why can't... Is there a cider guild? I know there's a brewer's
there's
guild.
There's an American cider association.
Okay, let's go Utah, though. I mean, there's a Utah Brewers Guild, which is pretty decent.
Yeah, there's a Colorado Cider Guild. There's just not one here.
Why not?
I just there hasn't been enough people. I mean, Scion just started making cider this year.
Yeah, Mountain West was kind of here by themselves. I think Etta Place was only in like 2021.
Yeah, so I know. Jeff and Jenna pushed a little for something more, but a lot of it, like, they're a little more established, so they have a touch more free time than we do right now. So
yeah, it's kind of weird that the Colorado Guild used to be the Rocky Mountain Cider Association. They kind of pulled back to just be in the state because like Montana was. There was a Montana Cider Works, and then Santa Fe Cider Works were in it too. I don't know when that happened, but it happened.
I definitely know Elizabeth is trying to push some stuff. But I think it's just a matter of...
That girl's unstoppable. Can I just say that right now?
Oh, yeah, no.
Unstoppable.
She played pickleball here in the first part of the league season, so we got to see her and Matt every Monday. That was always fun.
So happy.
Popping in there.
Next time they come here, let me know. I want to watch that. I want to watch that so bad. But, gentlemen, I like what's going on here. I think you guys have a niche where you're trying to make a name for yourself, but you have it with a great product and a great atmosphere. And you're saying, I'm jealous-ish, or I have Freud where I want to have that in the brewing community in my own spot. Mm-hmm. But you guys, if you build it, they will come kind of scenario. Exactly. And you guys, like, I'm walked in here and the vibe's good, the atmosphere's good. You have great staff. You have great product. I mean, it seems so fun. It's like, I have no doubt for you guys.
No, and it's still good. Like, I mean, even from a month ago, week over week have built a more consistent crowd and more people come in, and we have a lot of our regulars now, which we love to see. And a lot of it is just like we're in this new neighborhood, I think, and we're getting more and more people finding out, like, oh, I live two blocks away and you guys have been open for 2 months. Like,
yeah.
What have I been doing? And so, and a lot of it's on our part, like just getting more marketing out there, but
having a sign on the building would be nice.
Yeah, we're working on getting our actual name paint on the building, which would probably help a little bit. Yeah. But that's, I think this is where the Utah Beer Fest this weekend is going to really help us in that sense of at least getting in front of this entire population of drinkers that is craft beverage focused. And it's like a lot of people have heard of us, but don't know where we are. Or, you're on Main Street? Where in Main Street?
Like, sure.
That other cidery that opened. It's like, yeah, that's us.
A lot of it is just on us to really push the name, and I think that's where, like, getting into the breweries, and the breweries have been awesome about putting us on.
I like that.
In their shelves and that kind of stuff to help really build that name recognition and kind of introduce more cider to the Utah market and making people just more aware of cider in general. Like, hey, we have these cideries in Utah. They're all doing good things. Let's support them and keep going from there.
Yeah. So on that same note, what can this fermentation family that we have, the distillers, the brewers, everyone else, right, the kombuchas, what else can we do to help you guys thrive?
Hey, we would love to have our cider on your shelves. We have cans. If you want to put it on draft, even better. We love doing that. We'd love to host your beer at our place, too. I mean, we have seven on draft right now and then another 25 in cans, so I try to represent as much as I can, and a lot of it's just have I made it into the brewery and how fast things are selling and how much I plan ahead stuff, because sometimes like crap right out of this beer or right out of that beer, like let's switch it out to something else, see if it does.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's like we're testing the waters too with our market. It's like there's a few beers I know that I can sell, and then a lot of them are like, hey, like let's just feature this brewery, swap it out, see what this does and that kind of stuff. So
and if it doesn't sell, I'll just drink it.
Yeah, there are some beers that we have to like, hey, shift beer, or we're buying a beer after work and it's like,
What's not selling, I'll drink it.
Let's just make some more shelf space sometimes.
I love this so much.
It's always fun.
Well, gentlemen, I do appreciate your time you guys have taken with me today. Truly, I love your guys' product. I love your guys' passion.
Appreciate it.
I love you guys that you guys give a shit about beer and the spirits here in Utah. Mm-hmm. You guys are totally a part of this family. Don't forget that, please. And if there's anything I can do for you as a, I don't know if you call me a podcast or what you want to call me, but as a beer maker, let me know. I mean, I'm here to help you guys. And this family wants you guys to succeed. I know that for a fact.
For sure. Well, thank you very much. And to everybody that listens, like, if you see us around town, I'm usually wearing a Second Summit Cider shirt just because it's the only clothes I have these days. Feel free to stop and I'll chat. I'll tell you everything.
Yeah.
Or stop by for the cider and we'll give you a tour.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. If you holler at me in the back, I'm usually can spare a few minutes at least. So
I love that. Gentlemen, thank you so much. And on that note, until the next cider.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @_Tastemasters, Twitter at @TheTastemasters, or on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends. Thanks for listening. Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.